Children of year, as we know that the year 2020 has come to an end, and we begin a new year, 2021. And those are just numbers that we use, but what is important is that we also take a look at our lives and to see where do we stand with Christ as we enter into the new year. Before we go on, let us begin with prayer. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this wonderful day. We thank you, Lord, for taking us through this past year and also for leading us into the new year. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God of grace and a God who loves all people. We thank you, Lord, that we can be joyful, and as they have just sung, that we can have a joyful outlook in life. And Lord, many times that is a choice that we need to make. And we pray that you will give us a choice or help us to make a choice that we will be positive and that we will look forward in life to the many blessings that you give to us. We pray for your blessing upon each one today as we listen and as we preach your word, Lord, that it may be done to your honor and glory. We pray, Lord, for those that are not well, for those who are struggling in any way. We pray that you will give them comfort, that you will give them healing, that you will give them strength to overcome the burdens that they may be burdened with. For we know that you have called out to us, and you want us to bring all burdens to you, for you are there to help us. And we want to thank you for that, that your grace is always new. It is always sufficient. It always gives us what we need. And we thank you for your Spirit. And we pray that your Spirit will touch many as they listen today, and that they will be encouraged to go on and to go forward with a good outlook on life. And we know that it is all in your hands, and we surrender it to you. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, as we begin this new year, we want to look at it from a perspective where we want to look at the name of Christ. But before we look into that, we want to just go to one verse in Philippians chapter 4, the first verse. As I read this week and I came across this verse, I thought it really spoke to me, and it was an encouragement to me, as well as I hope it is an encouragement to each and every one of us, as it sort of speaks about the time that we are in, where it says, "Therefore, my brethren," and I would like to add my sisters, all those who are listening, "my dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." We have a desire that we want to fellowship together. We want to be together with other people. And we know that it is not always easy. It is difficult and restricted times. And so we long one for another. We long for each other. We are our joy. We are our crown. We have this desire for fellowship. It is only human nature that we have that desire. But at the same time, we want to encourage each other, that we stand fast, that we remain strong in the Lord, so that we can continue to have a good and positive outlook on life. And that would also be my encouragement to each and every one of us, that we would look forward with that joy, with that anticipation, to the many blessings that God wants to bless us with. We know that he has blessed us greatly through this last year. He has helped us through many trials, trials that many of us have never experienced before, or perhaps we all have never experienced a lot of the trials we have faced. But yet, we know that God has always been there with us. He has always taken us through this past year, and we have so much to be thankful to him for. When we think of this first day of the year, we can look at it as a day in which we want to talk about the new year and so forth. And I want to do that, but I want to tie it together with the naming of Jesus Christ. When we look into Scripture, we find where it says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 21, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb." Now this is the 8th day after we celebrated Christmas. And so it works out that on New Year's Day is also the day that we would acknowledge that Jesus was given his name. And in the name of Jesus, there is much to be learned. We know that Mary and Joseph, they were of the children of Israel. They were the descendants of Judah. And God had given the children of Israel instruction as to how they were to deal with, we can say, every situation in life, including the naming of a child. And especially when it was a male, there was to be somewhat of, as I would say, it was a ceremonial thing, where they would, on the 8th day, the child would be circumcised and he would be given his name. A name was something that was special. It was precious. And as we read of Zacharias and Elizabeth, when they named John, it was sort of a tradition, it seems like, that they would name the child the name of the father. But Zacharias said it was not to be so. And so we find, however, with Joseph and Mary, at the time when the angel came to tell them about the birth of Jesus, he told them that they were to give him the name Jesus. They were to name him Jesus, which means Jehovah saves. And when we think of Jehovah saves, it means God, the great God, has come to save us as a people that need to have faith in him. And it was for that purpose that Jesus came into this world, that he would save all of mankind if only they would come to him in faith. It was also said that he was to be named Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. And that we can see that God came to dwell with us. Now, if we turn to the book of Isaiah, we see that all of this was prophesied. It was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, where it says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," meaning God with us. God came to us. And we have just gone through all of that in the Christmas story, where we have seen how the angel came to Mary and told him that she would bring forth that child. And to her, he said that she should call his name Jesus. But to Joseph, it was said that his name should be Emmanuel. And so there is a lot to be said about the meaning of a name. The purpose of a name is to describe what is in that child, what is intended to be in that child. I know when we were younger and we had our children, it was important to us that we knew the meaning of the name that we would give to that child, so that it would reflect what we wanted that child, what we wanted the purpose of that child to be in life, and that it would be a godly name, a name that God could honor. And so we can see that as we look then further into Isaiah chapter 9, there it tells us again, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." And then it says, "And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Now we have here several different meanings of what that name shall be and what that name of Jesus or Emmanuel shall reflect, and how people are going to call him all these different things, and how he is going to be these things that are described in the name that he was given, how they are going to affect people, how they're going to affect us. And so we want to look today at how do we respond to Jesus, not just to the name itself, but to who he is. And at the same time, we want to ask ourselves, who is Jesus? Who is he in our lives? We have a Savior. He has come into this world. But what do we call him? If somebody would come to us and they would want to know, what do you think of Jesus? What do you call him? What does he mean to you? What would we say? We have these five things that it tells us that what he is to us. If we turn to Luke chapter 4, we see there how the people in the day that Jesus was preaching, and this is just right in the beginning of Jesus' ministry, in the time when he had been baptized and then he was taken by the Spirit into the wilderness and he was tried by the devil. He went through a hard time, we could say. But then after that, it says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all." We can see very clearly that as Jesus was teaching, there was a fame. He was famous. He became famous very quickly. It spread around, and all people heard of it. And the reason they heard of it was because of his teaching, how he taught different than those that had been teaching till then. How he taught them in love, how he taught them with authority, how he taught them how to live. And they could see that the way that he was teaching, it was actually possible for them to live a life and be faithful to God. And so he was glorified of all. Do we glorify Jesus? Do we glorify his name? Do we give him thanks for all the wonderful things he does to us? Is he wonderful to us? Or do we perhaps use that name in a way that it would be described as in vain? A way that it is not pleasing to God, that it is actually not even pleasing for anyone to hear. Sometimes we hear his name being used in such a way, and we know that that is certainly not the will of God, that we use that name in such a way. So if he is wonderful to us, we will also speak of him in such a way, and we will speak positive. We also see an example in Luke chapter 13, beginning in verse 10, where it says, "And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. This woman had gone through an illness for 18 years already. It's a long time. She was bowed over. It was a crippling disease that she faced, so that she would bow over so that she could endure it. But when the time came that she met Jesus, and Jesus healed her. And we see this many times in Scripture. Wherever Jesus went, there were people that came to him, and he healed them, and they became whole. They became healed as nothing was wrong with them. And this was so wonderful. He was such a wonderful God to them, such a wonderful healer. He was a Savior. He was that Jehovah saves. It was exactly what his name meant. His name came to save people. And here we see this woman, she glorified God. And we see that in many examples in Scripture. How the people, when they were healed, they glorified God. They praised him. When he healed the blind man in John, in the book of John, where it writes about how he healed the blind man, he leaped with joy because he was now able to see. And so we too, we have many times in life where we go through a time of struggle. And when God heals us from it, when he helps us from that infirmity, we have every reason to look at him as saying, he is wonderful. He has healed us. He has helped us through this. And so we need to praise him. We need to give him thanks for all the wonderful things that he does to us and for us, because we have truly been greatly blessed by him. Then if we go to Philippians chapter 2, we see there also that even God himself exalts Jesus. He glorifies Jesus. And I want to begin reading there in verse 6 of Philippians chapter 2. Who being in the form of God, it's talking about Jesus, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This was Jesus. He came into this world. He was equal with God, and he didn't consider himself to rob God of anything. He was equal with God. But he came as a man into this world, and he took the cross upon himself, and he allowed that cross, or he allowed himself also to be nailed to that cross, so that he could fulfill the plan of God to bring salvation to all man. And then in verse 9 and on it says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. God exalted Jesus for being faithful, for being true to what God had asked him to be. When we think of how God exalted Jesus, he brought him back to that place where he was before, on the right hand of God. And now he says to us that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So as we go into this new year, and as we think of the purpose of Jesus coming into this world and how his name itself explains to us what he is to us. I believe it is important for us to take heart and to decide for ourselves that we want to be thankful. We want to be a thankful people. We want to call Jesus wonderful. We want to praise him. And the reason we want to do this is because of some of the other characteristics in his name. For example, like he is to be a counselor. Part of his name is counselor. When we look to John chapter 14 and verse 26, we see there that it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to you." Now we may say this is speaking of the Holy Ghost. And yes, it is. But you cannot separate God, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. God is the Father. Jesus is the part of God that became man and came into this world. And the Holy Ghost came and he dwells within all those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So because we now have our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we have a comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And this Holy Ghost is a counselor to us today. Together with the Word, of God, the Word of Jesus Christ, which through the Spirit of God, God empowered man to write the Word so that we would have it, that we can read it, that we can listen to it, that we can be comforted and encouraged, that it can counsel us as to how we are to conduct ourselves in our daily walk here in this world. Paul also writes about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where he also talks about the Spirit. And I want to begin there in verse 11, where it says, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." Now we as people, what do we know? Out of ourselves, we only know what we as humans could know, what we as humans could learn. But when the Spirit dwells within, we also have that gift of the Spirit, the Counselor, the God Almighty, who counsels us, and he teaches us the things that we need to know, which are of the Spirit of God. And when we allow ourselves to be led by that Spirit, we are given the ability to also encourage others, to help others along in their walk in life. He says in verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." The things of God are spiritually discerned. We need to have this wonderful counselor, the one that teaches us, in order that we are able to be an encouragement to anyone that is in trouble, to anyone that needs help, counseling. We need that wonderful Spirit, God's Spirit, to dwell within us so that we can help them with that. And we know that God's Word is a counselor. It is Jesus, because Jesus is referred to as the Word. He was the Word. And we know that when He is the Word, when we allow that Word to dwell in us, when we take it in, it gives us counsel. It teaches us how we are to conduct ourselves. It also helps us with any infirmities that we may have. And so because of all this, we can go to the next portion of His name, which means Mighty God, or which is Mighty God. He is the Mighty God. Jesus Himself was with the Father at the time of creation. We read that in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, where it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." And so Jesus, He was a part of the creation. God created all things by Him. By Him, by the Word. When God spoke, it was done. And so it was through the name of Jesus, through the Word, that God created everything. And that is all because of Jesus, because of His name. Do we see the greatness of Jesus? Do we see how great He is in all things, how He has created all things, and now also He sustains all things? Yes, again, we cannot separate God and Jesus. They are one. They are together. They are there to lead and to guide, to counsel and to show us His greatness. And so we know that it is through that that Jesus Himself also says in John chapter 15 and verse 5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in Me and I in him, the same bringeth forth fruit, for without Me ye can do nothing." We need to be a part of Jesus. We need to have Him live within us. Then, as Paul says, then we can do all things. And so we know that we need Jesus, and He is that Mighty God. He is also Everlasting Father. As we read in John chapter 1, that He was from the beginning. He was there at the time of creation. And we see also in many other places in Scripture where He is not only there at the time of creation or from the beginning, but that He will also be for all eternity. So He is everlasting. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, we read, "God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being in the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they." He was taken into the brightness of His glory. He who being in the brightness of His glory, He first came down. He first paid for our sins. He was taken up into that majesty on the right hand of the majesty on high, into that glorious heaven. And there He will be for all eternity. Although, yes, He will come. He will come and he will take the church to himself. But we know that he will be for all eternity. In the book of Revelation, we also see that he speaks about him being the Alpha and Omega. He says in Revelation 22, verse 13, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So he was from the beginning to the end. And that end has no end. It is eternity. He was the first and he was the last. There is no beginning. There is no end to Christ. He is everlasting. And then also it tells us that he was, or he is, the Prince of Peace. In John chapter 14 and verse 27, Jesus says, Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus has come to give us peace. The world is searching for peace. They are searching for peace in power. They want to bring peace to all the nations. But we know that the Bible teaches us that as time goes on, there will be perilous times. There will be wars and there will be rumors of wars. And there will not be peace in the world itself. But Jesus has come to bring peace to those that have received the Comforter. I referred to verse 26 before already, where it talks about the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And then he says, Peace I leave with you. If we have this Holy Jesus, this Savior, if he lives within us, then we also have the comfort of having peace. Because it doesn't matter what this world can put before us, what it can lay before our feet, what it can cause us to have a hard time with. We can always go to Jesus. He will always counsel us. He will also say, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He will give us that peace. It was the message that the shepherds received when they were out in the field at the time when the announcement of Jesus' birth came, where it says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 14, the message of the angel, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. This peace is a peace that is within. It is not a peace that we can work for. It is not a peace that power will bring into this world. But it is a peace that will come through us having Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, Paul writes about this peace as well. He says, Be careful for nothing. We would say, Don't worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. So don't become anxious. Don't worry about the things of this life. But rather, talk to this Jesus. He is this wonderful counselor. He is the mighty God. He is in control of all things. He is going to be there from everlasting to everlasting. He is the one that when this life is over, is going to welcome us into heaven's glory. We have much to look forward to. And he says, you know, if we will do this, if we will surrender ourselves to him with our prayers and our supplication, and we will give thanks, then he says, then the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is that wonderful name of Jesus. He wants to bring us that peace. And as we go into this new year, it is my desire, it is my prayer, that we will all experience that peace. Though we may face many trials, many things in life that we have no idea today what is going to be before us, just as if we think back 1 year, last year on New Year's Day, would we have thought of the things that would take place in the year 2020? None of us would have known. And we don't know what the year 2021 is going to bring us. But we do know that if we will go to God and we will surrender ourselves fully to him, he has promised us that if we will humble ourselves, we will confess our sins, we will pray, we will thank him, then he is going to heal our land. And our land needs healing. We need this peace of God to dwell within us, not just in our country, but in the whole world. And I believe that in this last year, we can truly say that God has been calling us. In this coming year, will we answer, yes, Lord, I will follow you? Or will we still not surrender? I believe that a lot of the things that we are facing will be taken away by God when we surrender ourselves fully to him. In closing, let us pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, once again we come to you and we give you thanks for this opportunity. We thank you, Lord, for your word and that your word is so precious, that it teaches us about every aspect in life, how we are to conduct ourselves, how we are to live our lives so that we can be an encouragement one toward another. We thank you, Lord, for the country you have given us, where we can still so freely proclaim your name, proclaim your word as well. And Lord, we pray for our country. We pray for our governments, and we pray, Lord, that they will call on you as well. For we know that they are struggling. They need us to pray for them, and they also need to pray to you and call on that they will surrender themselves to you and allow you to be their guide, to teach them, and that your Spirit will lead and guide all things in a way that we can further be blessed by you, as you have blessed us for so many years. Lord, we thank you for taking care of us. We thank you for loving us so much and giving us this wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ, by whom all the world was created, by whom all is sustained, and by whom you want to lead and guide us even from here on. And so, Lord, we pray that you will give us wisdom, that you will help us to be understanding and to acknowledge that we need you, and that that will bring us a peace, that peace which passes all understanding. We pray once again for those that are not well, those that are in hospitals, those that are ill. We pray for healing. We pray for comfort. Those who are going through the time of a loss of a loved one, we pray that you will comfort them as well. We pray also for those who work in what is referred to as the front line, where they work with people that are not well. We thank you for them, and we pray that you will give them the strength so that we can continue to receive the many blessings through them. We know that you have given us them, and we want to thank you for them as well. Lord, we ask that you would bless this service, and that you would bless each one as they listen. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. And I would like to close with a benediction taken out of Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. May God's blessing be with you all. I would just like to say, from our house to yours, may you all have a blessed New Year.